Triple M's Rush Hour Catch-Up Podcast. The whole show, everything sport. It's all here. Want it all? Have it all. On Foxtel. Call Foxtel on 131 787 or search Foxtel.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Oh, you're back here again, are you, Brownless?
Put moron number two on the phone.
How have you survived in the business this long?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime. Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
What the hell sort of starts that, Rabs?
Come on, Rabs.
Drive a bloody truck through that opener there. What sort of a show are we putting on?
No, there was supposed to be a credit for Foxtel, which didn't run, so thank you very much,
hell?
Foxtel.
Rabsy, put your hand up. I haven't stuffed up yet. You're the first bloke to stuff
Smarten up. Rabs, for God's sake. Hey, Bill.
Yes, Jim.
We're back.
Back.
Too early.
So, yeah.
I needed a bit longer.
You possibly couldn't have any more time off, Jim.
Me?
Yes.
At least I work in the summer. What have you been doing? Well, we're going to get to that.
Yes.
I'll tell you what we've got today.
What?
Damien Barrett in.
Oh, Damo.
Looking forward to chatting to Damo about the AFLW.
Oh, Cats got in.
How did North not get in?
Well, they won the first five games, didn't win any games from there.
They won two more games than the people who got in on the other side of the conference.
Well, that's the conference,
Jim. Is that
Jim.
What it is?
That's what happened. Damo got new glasses.
Don't know. Different look about him. So Damo coming in. And then second hour, Marcus Harris.
Who?
Little left arm opener for the Renegades and Australia. And Victoria in the Shield final again hosting.
I know.
Unbelievable. So, and all down the bottom.
Who else? What else? Jim.
I see, maybe some oven work.
Oh,
from
Fat's
you.
Been baking.
Fat's been baking.
And you know what happens then, Jim?
Oh, no.
I eat half the pie. So it's only half tonight.
Hello to you, Bill.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy. Boy, great to be with you. I'm excited.
Not really.
Yes, you are. I see your little eyes light up when Anthony William walks in the door. Great to be with you. Great to talk to the listeners. And g'day to you, Rebsy.
In the Navy was a hit song for the Billy.
For the Sherbet Band.
Billy's people.
YMCA, you idiot.
No, that's another song by the band.
Oh, yeah, they're village people.
What
you
in God's name? Now, Bill.
That's when I won Sale of the Century.
Bill.
Yes.
We are going to chat next about what we've both been up to, but this is just to let the millions of people who listen to this show and love it know.
Mm-hmm.
When we finish just before the grand final in September.
It's a long time.
And then we spend a fair bit of time before we get back on air here in March.
Yeah.
You and I don't see each other that much.
Not a lot.
I go and work very hard at the cricket, and you do absolutely nothing. And I tell you, I'm just going to take a wild guess at what you have been doing.
What do you reckon?
In my absence? Eating. Look at the guts on you.
Jim.
What?
I'm not too. This is a small shirt.
Bill.
It wasn't last year, but it is. And drinking, Jim.
I would have thought that too.
I'm very social.
You are?
Yeah, very. I like to get out and mix with the crowd out there, Jim.
So, Bill.
Very social.
I think we're going to have to do something about your appearance.
Why?
I've just noticed that they've announced the lineup for the new footy show.
Am I on it? Jim!
Oh, no sign of Brownless.
Yeah, mate, we're taking 4 minutes and you're already into me. Having a go at not being on the footy show.
Bill.
What else I missed out on?
I think they've your appearance is costing you gigs.
I don't think so, Jim. I've still got my humour. The fatter you are, the more humorous.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Have a look at, Mick. Is he there?
I thought you were going to go to Benny Hill or someone. Anyway, so Bill, this is something we're going to have to address.
Righto, beautiful.
Yeah, within the next week, I reckon.
All right.
We're going to get you sorted.
All right.
Because I'm a bit concerned.
You know what I want to address?
What?
Is you.
Right.
You.
Well, we're going to do that next.
Look at you. You are a flog. James Brayshaw is a flog.
Well, yeah, we're talking Instagram here. I want to ask you about Instagram.
Yeah, what's happened?
The numbers are marching back. Just discussing what we've been doing since we last spoke to the family.
Mm.
And, of course, I was doing the cricket all summer for Channel 7.
How was that, Jim? Enjoy that?
It was fantastic. And I'll tell you what it was, unbelievably successful for the station.
Yeah.
I had OzTam or whatever it was, figures sent to me at the end of the summer, Bill. Did you know this? The six test matches of the summer just gone, of everyone watching cricket in Australia, 82%, 82 of 100% were watching it on Channel 7.
Eight people out of 10.
That's it.
8 points.
It's unbelievable. Of all people watching.
Eight so and baby.
They're very, very happy with all of that. And but good people to work with and had a great time. So that was me.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Because I noticed you haven't been doing really anything at all.
I have, Jim. I've been around the traps.
Where?
I don't like to get out of Australia myself. I like to just be a man of the people in Australia. I've been to the Moe races.
This is all on Instagram.
Yeah.
You started at Moe.
Yep.
Then you worked your way to Caulfield.
Well, no, I did the country cups, Jim. I went to Moe. I survived Moe. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. See the girls, or did they get around Anthony Williams?
No,
very
they didn't.
Happy
you
to
just
see.
Just crashed into their photo.
I see a little bit of spunkette in town. and then I went to Bendigo Cup and the Geelong Cup. That was very good. Right. Caulfield races.
Yep. Nice. Flemington.
I look good.
So you just went to all the races.
Yes.
And then I see you over in Perth, so that would have been Mouse just doing speaking gigs over there.
No, no, just put something back into the community over there, Jim.
And then back at your own joint, the Cremorne, where you got all the old Geelong boys together.
Oh, well, Narra.
Narra and Bulb.
Bulbhead. No, it was Narra Head, Bulbhead. Ray Sarcevic there, Tim McGrath, Darren Forsman. He's lost his hair. He looks like a rodeo clown. We're all there having a big day.
Why did you have your shirt off on the Gold Coast?
It's bloody hot up there, Jim. You've been up there lately? Just
walk around with no shirt on.
Well, it was the Magic Millions, and I had to walk from where I was in Broadbeach to the casino, and I had to have a spell there.
Did you?
Yeah, a bit of a spell.
Nice.
I went to our pizza joint, Jim, where we get the kebabs.
Hollywood's.
They were asking about you.
Of course they were. Bill.
Yes?
So you do bugger all.
Hosted a wedding.
Did you?
I didn't know that.
And then you went on.
Didn't know the bride and groom. Got paid for
you then went on a cruise,
oh,
which
beautiful.
Is amazing. So you got on a beautiful cruise ship.
Mate, the biggest Carnival, it's called Carnival Legend, one of the biggest cruise ships in the world.
So here's the thing. You would have gone somewhere like Vanuatu, Bora Bora, Tahiti, somewhere, you know, Fiji.
Overseas I went.
Where?
Hobart.
You went on a cruise to Hobart.
An exotic cruise, Jim. So we got on here, took 2 days to get to Hobart, but I'll tell you what was good. All you can eat.
Oh.
All you can eat, Jim. So you just stack up your plate and free soft drink.
That's it. So just kept going up.
It was
more
beautiful.
From the Bay Marie.
Lovely. It was Graham Boyd, a good mate of mine, Boyd. He's 80th, old Boydo. And, mate, we had a great time. It was very good, that exotic
All right, so
cruise.
So get online and have a look at the two off-seasons.
Yeah, look at Flog here, right? I've got you here.
Triple M Rush Hour Instagram, if you want to see the photos.
What is happening at Instagram, by the way? My numbers are diminishing.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's gone down.
More people, like you had 100 people a week joining up, and your numbers go down.
They're getting rid of the spam.
How's that? At James Brayshaw, by the way. Log on now and pump my numbers back up again because I'm deflating.
Well, if you go on there, you'll see old Flog here. He's over in Capri.
Yeah, that's it. What a beautiful place
fedora.
That is. Yeah, that's
stupid
it.
Stupid fedora on
nice.
Your head.
Beautiful.
With your girlfriend.
Beautiful
is
Lisa, yes.
11 years younger than you.
No.
Yes.
She's only 8 months younger.
She's 11. She gets in on a kid's ticket. Fair dinkum. He went to the Flemington racecourse in the Birdcage. Nowhere else.
We did.
Measure of Flog.
Yep.
Rockness Island.
Rockness.
Rottenness or whatever it is over there in Perth. Where they got those stupid birds. What have they got?
Quackers. I think it's probably not a bird. They're a little mammal. A little marsupial.
There's no quackers anywhere else in the world.
No, that's it.
Just on the Rockness.
That's it.
So, and then you went to Brighton Bar.
That's
so you go to all these trendy, next
Phil,
you'll be at...
I'm next level. That's the reason.
Monaco.
One of us has to fly at that
Ibiza.
Level.
Jakarta.
Jakarta.
It's all...
You are...
It's all me. You're a Flog and you got a stupid look on your face.
Get online and tell us who you think's had a better off-season. Old eating machine or myself?
Triple M Rush Hour
Damien
on
Barrett
Instagram.
Coming up, by the way, also. Go with that again, Reggie.
A Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram is where you can see all those photos and give us a bit of feedback on the boys' 2019 off-season.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's Recovery Session. For Coat Tyre, call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
In he comes. Hello to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Bill, Rubsy.
Hey, you got new glasses. You got a different look.
Yeah, the other ones were running into the ground, Bill. Had a new pair.
Very trendy. I tell you what, you are on point.
Oh, no. Am I?
It's taken Bill 6 months to frame that sentence.
And get it out of
Purple, nice to see you. Thanks to Coat Tyre, of course, for getting on board again.
Wonderful sponsors.
Who's got the biggest question mark hanging over them going into round one, which is 3 days away?
I've got a lot of teams in that category, Jim. And again, I think footy being the opinion game that it clearly is, particularly at this time of year, I think you could throw a blanket over Geelong, Essendon, Hawthorn, and Port Adelaide as the teams that I feel have the biggest question marks going in.
Why Geelong?
Geelong because, Bill, I still don't know where they're at. They've obviously recruited for the now, but the now hasn't actually transpired to be the ultimate prize that they wanted. And I know that you can justify by what they've done with how they've performed, but at the same time, you don't bring Dangerfield in, you don't bring Ablett back, and then still fall short. So that's the bottom line is the way I see their situation over the past couple of years. And going into this year, I'm no clearer right now, Bill, and you are obviously privy to more information than any of us when it comes to the Cats, but unless you can shed some more light onto it than what we otherwise see, I still feel they're going to be in that zone, which leaves them outside the really pointy.
Brutal first 6 weeks.
Oh, brutal. And we'll know how well they're going. If they can be 3-3, I reckon they'd be happy with that. But certainly a totally different 21 players have moved in, and as happens a lot of clubs in 2 years. Total different forward line. When you look at Luke Dalhouse and what Gary Rowe and those blokes are going to do.
But again, there's a question mark over Luke Dalhouse too, Bill. Obviously, they hopefully are getting the 2015 and 16 Luke Dalhouse, but are they? And again, the question marks that are there right now.
And we'll see some new kids playing in the middle, which will be good.
Yes, they need to.
Who was the other?
Essendon, I think, big. And even before the Danaher news of last week, which is strange given that he has had that osteitis pubis, Jim, as you know. And then last week, out of the blue, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I do take the club at its word that there's a calf complaint now, which is going to keep him out for 6 weeks. But it's a really bad setback for someone who missed every match after round 7 of last year, now going to miss, I would say, a minimum of 4 and quite possibly more. And he still hasn't, the way he presented himself, got himself over the problems of last year. Yeah. So when he does start again, be it round 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it's going to be, the conditioning is just not going
feel
to be there anyway.
Great kid. Oh, no, you just hope he can get a run at it.
Can't get right. I'll tell you what, they were flat in both JLTs. Flat. Next.
Hang on, before we go with that, they have also recruited for the now.
Yeah, they have.
So they need to strike with this iron. Otherwise, this is the second draft of basically no one coming in.
Couldn't have done better, could they, the past two trade periods with Smith, Stringer and Saad in at the end of 2017 and then getting the big one in Shield last year. So they're right to go, and yet having said all that, I do feel that internally, and they're not going to be saying this publicly, but I do feel internally, even if Danaher does get back, I still feel that they think they're not quite at that premiership level just yet. Ooh. Now, things can change, and sometimes teams get hot, but
Hawthorn?
I think Hawthorn, we saw what happened last year, didn't they, straight out of the finals, and despite finishing top four, looked a long, long way off it, and obviously, and needless to say, the unavailability for probably the whole season and certainly a large chunk of it, the very best of Tom Mitchell, is going to cause all sorts of problems there. And while they keep saying that Scully is now sort of round 6 to round 10 period, until he's back out there, you cannot factor him in. Again, question marks over him. And Port Adelaide too, just to throw them in as well, they're regularly thereabouts, but rarely since 2014 anyway, up near the top end of it.
Well, the thing with Hawthorn, before we get to Port Adelaide, is they have a genius as a coach.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to be, I reckon, because midfield depth has always been the question mark. And now, as you've just pointed out, their best midfielder won't play. And the other one they brought in to give them that outside run, because Isaac Smith can't do it all on his own, is 10 weeks away. So that's the fascination for me, is to see how this little master of a coach is going to conjure up some midfield depth.
And O'Meara obviously had a very, very good year last year on the back of the three previously poor ones when it came to injury. But ultimately, and again, puts question marks, he wasn't there in that second week of finals last year. Again, the body let him down. So while he's trained well, Bill, over the preseason, and while they are looking at him as being the player they wanted to get when they did get him across from Gold Coast Suns, there's still question marks over here.
All right, Purple, lots more to discuss. What does the JLT tell us? The AFLW, what's going on there? Has the traction come to that comp? And we'll have a look at Collingwood and big Tommy Lynch.
Damien Barrett for Coates Hire in the studio.
Hey, we need to talk JLT. Purple, we've just seen the two games for all the clubs. I watch a lot of it, obviously, because we're about to start calling footy, so you want to see who's around. It looked to me like a lot of people were taking notes from the old Paul Roos playbook of his Sydney Swans coaching time when he treated that competition with absolute disdain. Now, I reckon he had a few mates in these last 2 weeks. I don't reckon a lot of the clubs are taking it that seriously.
No, I got that feeling too, Jim, on the games I watched. So I think what they were doing this year was trying to at least get a feel for the multitude of rule and interpretational changes which are going to be in place this year. So I think that was being used for that reason. It does get back to the regular and annual debate about what is the right format for the preseason. And I'm, for now, probably 2 or 3 years, now subscribing very strongly to if there's a way we can just go into round one cold.
Yep.
I would really like to see that. Now, I know there's commercial realities to a preseason series, and JLT being one of the sponsors that obviously pump money in, and they will want their airtime as well, as the AFL would you'd think would want them to do that. But I reckon the anticipation around going into this Thursday night without having seen anything to do with football from last year's grand final would be something that I would think would really add to the start of the season.
It just looked to me like so many of them were keeping their powder dry.
Yeah.
It's certainly around the centre square structures because that's why I can't wait for this first round to see what clubs actually do with that new rule, because so many were just playing it normally because they didn't want to show their hand.
No, and they're so cagey about it. And I reckon clubs, Jim and Bill, have actually devised sort of plans A, B, C, and D with it. Now, obviously, it's determined by getting your hands on the footy, which is still the oldest way in the book to win the game of footy. But the teams that do configure well in that centre square will have so many options. And what the clubs are seemingly saying too, that space that the two sets of wingers have is going to become the play zone, I feel, for the teams that can get a hold of the ball regularly in the centre. Yeah. That those spare wingers, the way they set up, will allow them to take it in a way that we haven't seen in
football. I like the playing on from fullback.
Yeah, me
because they got away nice and quick, and there's some coast-to-coast goals, which we all like, Jimmy Boy. Who won the off-season cup in the media, do you reckon, out there?
I think the club that's regularly won the off-season is the one that's won it again in 2018 going to 19, Bill. I think it's the Carlton Footy Club. They create headlines out of nowhere. Having said that, I feel there's, for the first time in a very long time, some substance to what they are seemingly about this time around. They've now gone public too with a pledge. It's a 5-year plan. They're using the word premierships within that pledge inside that time frame, at least to get themselves back into that quote premiership winning style that they once were famous for. So I do feel they are on the right track finally. But to answer your question, Bill, I reckon they won the off season.
I live with a Carlton fan. And she said to me the other day, Bill,
what?
I would far prefer us to focus on winning games from the middle of March onwards than anything prior to that. She's had enough. She's had enough.
Hey, that Sam Walsh, she's a beauty.
Yeah, well, yeah. Ready-made too.
Ready-made, ready to go.
Sure body.
Are you feeling or are you worried about St Kilda?
Yeah, I really am in so many ways. And obviously the very sad situation with Dylan Roberton of last week, where he's setting himself aside for all of 2019. And obviously, some tests need to come back in a very dramatic way, different to what they have been to this moment, for him to play another game of footy. So it's clearly not just 2019 potentially at play for him in terms of sitting out of football. It is potentially career, and that's just stating the obvious, as it unfortunately is, Bill, for Paddy McCartan. As we speak, there are tests lined up for later this week, which will shed some more light onto it. But unfortunately for him, I know you're very close to the situation and you won't be able to relay exactly probably everything you know, and nor should you, for the confidentiality around it. But it's a very precariously placed situation with him now, given that he doesn't yet know the results of these tests, which are going to be had later this week. And that they will go a long way on determining what happens to him this year as well.
Jack Stephen, there's issues there that you don't want to have these sort of problems before you even get out of the gate.
Carlisle
as well. And also too, the man they brought across from the Sydney Swans, Dan Hannanbury, just won't be seen for a number of weeks into the season at best. And when he does, he's not going to have the conditioning that he or they would have liked on the big money that he's on.
Mind you, are they highly likely to end up ahead of the Gold Coast, who, according to our man, Matty Lloyd, otherwise known as Lordo, has the worst list ever put together. Do you reckon?
Has he said that?
I read somewhere. Could be the worst list ever.
It actually showed a little bit in JLT. They had a crack.
They had a crack. They're going to need to have a big crack, aren't they? I feel it's between those two clubs down the bottom of the ladder, Jim. And that seems reasonably obvious, but I do feel that's what's going to happen once we play the 22 games.
Let's have a look at a couple of the big boys next, Richmond and Collingwood. All right, Purple, we talked about the new rules. A lot of them have been aired, of course, in the JLT, but the runner, or the runners not allowed on the ground, has suddenly caused all sorts of problems late in the preseason.
Yeah, late in the preseason, Jim, for the people who are the greatest control freaks in our game, they being the coaches. And I say that not as criticism, it's just that that's what they are. They like to be in charge of everything. They're not. And what surprised me about this this issue blowing up on the back of Luke Beveridge being quite smug the way he said, I expect the runners to be allowed to be used in round one. And then Alistair Clarkson's followed him in today, despite last week Alistair Clarkson saying he didn't have an issue with the lack of access to runners, which has been implemented now since Steve Hocking made those changes. So I don't know why they're carrying on. It's not as if Steve Hocking was going to back down on what he'd spent a year devising on the back of two coaches and a few others behind the scenes making some pretty loud noises. That's not how Steve Hocking's wired, is it, Bill?
No, and, not at all.
And he's, again, made it very clear today, we're not changing what we said. So it's wasted breath, and so it should be, given there's been notice for these coaches for a long time.
I would have thought the opposite. I would have thought if you publicly clip Steve Hocking, he's less likely to do it.
I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, exactly.
When you look at him, he's got that sort of pretty set jaw, and I reckon he's not going anywhere.
No.
Of all of them, though, that's the one that I find a bit... I don't know why we have to go quite to that extreme. I agree that the runners spend too much time on the ground. But completely getting rid of them, I think, is probably a step further than they needed to go.
Middle ground.
I don't have an issue with it, but I do listen to the coaches when they do say what you're saying. Maybe reduce it to 3, 4, 5, 6 times a quarter. You know, without having the drastic nature of no times a quarter, except for the times a goal.
Was there a runner on for 18 minutes last year and a quarter?
That they refer to that being the case. A collective 18 minutes within the one quarter.
Hey, Tom Lynch, what sort of impact are you going to have on the Tigers?
I think a massive one, but I still feel I will stick to plan A with him, and that is to not have him ready for round one, despite some murmurings over the weekend that he may well be ready. They've known, I feel, for some time he's going to need a big body of work. He's only just getting there. They're a good football club the way they run themselves. And round one, yes, it's an important game of footy, but so too is round 4, 5, and 6 when the time frame, I feel, is a more opportune time for him to resume his career at his new club. And I can't see how it just won't work. It's going to require Jack Riewoldt to get his head around
interesting, that. Yep.
A lot of things. But he's obviously party to the decision, signed off on it, and you'd think it would benefit him once he does get his head around it, as he no doubt will.
A couple of weird injuries, or not sure. Ben Jacobs, quickly.
It's a really strange one, Bill. This played out in the back half of last year when he was unavailable for North Melbourne, and there were so many possibilities around concussion, around a sinus problem, around an ear problem, and all sorts of problems. But they're no clearer, as it is right now, on what it actually is that has caused him to be feeling strange and woozy at times. And as such, speaking about question marks before, Bill, he's got one over his head as well.
Liam Pickens, same?
Yeah, same. Very much the same. It's look, the club will keep saying that he's doing everything right toward the possibility of returning, but as far as I see it, Bill, he's still a long way away from that leap from where he is training to possibly end up being back on an AFL ground.
Just on that, Dale Morris, we must send out our best their wishes to him. He's one of our favourites, so good luck tomorrow.
What about the Maggies? How have you assessed their lead up to round one?
Done it really well, I think, Jim. On the back of now having the conviction that what they will be able to do is right at the very high end, and they've been able to then have that off-season with that luxury. I know they've gone about their work quite differently to this time last year. They've got that self-assuredness without being cocky about it. Obviously, the addition of Beams is huge within that.
Now
he's back. He's had a few issues with fitness over the off-season, but he's right to go. Clearly, he's up and running.
Darcy Moore back in centre-half back
access in some form, and whether that form ends up being 12 games, but in some form to Daniel Wells. So there's nothing but positives the way they are preparing for this year, and you'd expect them to be thereabouts once again. The only asterisk on that is that their draw is significantly more difficult than it was last year, given that they came from that middle tier of clubs, the way the fixture is structured.
They lose round one, so that's disappointing.
Do they? On Friday night,
do they?
Yeah,
they do. Yeah.
Two things, Purple. Firstly, loved the North Melbourne vision of Magic Door coming back to train with all the boys. Just brilliant. Talks about how loved he is in amongst that group. If you haven't seen it, get on the North Melbourne website and watch his first active session back on the Ultra G machine. Just nuts. Right. Secondly, Saturday rub.
Oh,
coming up.
Well, what's
midday. Now, our man, the big briser, the big bristle, he's taken the whole thing to a new level, Purple, and he's got you in his sights.
Well, Jim, it's funny because he spent the whole off-season having this image makeover about being presentable to the public as Nice Brian.
Yep. Yeah.
And yet, in the past 48 hours, I see he's gone back to old Brian, who was nasty and aggressive and very confrontational, Brian.
So there is, this Saturday, Bill, a new segment.
There he is.
Well, the Roma... Old roaming
the
Brian.
Roaming Brian,
he's not just roaming within the rooms now.
Oh, no. What's
he's
he doing?
Out and about in Victoria.
Yeah.
And very soon to go overseas.
Well, he's done that.
So Purple has put the microscope on exactly what he's been doing and where he's been.
Well, also...
It needs to be brought to our listeners' attention, Jim, what he's been up to.
And his lawn house, of course.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, on the seaside. But he's gone all solar-powered, Jim.
Off the grid.
Off the grid and running out of power. So you imagine the big fella in the shower and it just goes, come on, Brian.
Come on, Brian.
Brian.
So that is coming up Saturday.
Oh, and he's... He was warm. He's supposed to be warm, as you said, but there's no warm Brian.
No, well, he's made some comments to the
Damien Barrett yesterday. Has his head up his arm.
I'm telling you, make sure you're listening from midday Saturday. We cannot wait for that.
Can you help me, Bill, if I do take him on again? Because I get scared when he does fire up.
You know me, the old blancmange.
A midweek rub. We'll see you Wednesday.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Nice. Look forward to that.
Yeah, Damien.
That was Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Got the social media feedback to who's had the better off season.
Yes,
and
Jim.
Some of our favourites have become, back in the fold.
Exactly.
Like, of course, Greg Carroll.
What did he say?
Billy Everywhere. He's a man of the people.
Yes, Greg.
So we love hearing from him. Agent Chaos.
What an agent, sir.
Bray's dominated this contest. Jimmy Boy won, Fat Zero. A fat brought a butter knife to a gunfight, according to the agent, who's been one of our favourites for a long time.
Just under the agent, Jim. Chaptorius.
Yes.
Billy, you are the king of Geelong. Get him in the Hall of Fame already. Rachel.
Chaptorius actually got hold of me on my own handle, at James Brayshaw, by the way, and start joining up because I've been losing numbers for some reason.
Yes,
he said, this interesting, Bill. He said, Bill was stalking the locals at Moe. They definitely didn't flock to him. Which is what you said they did at the start of the show.
Well, they did. Did they come from
I like this one, Taylor. WLB17. Amalfi Coast and the best seats of the cricket or gastro on a boat to Hobart. I'm going with global and trendy.
Yes, indeed.
But Wendy, lay off Anthony William.
Yes.
Jolly soul who likes a good meal and a frothy or a thousand.
Stuart K. Putt, JB. Yes. Way too much me action. In the off-season, I like that. That is spot on.
And
well done,
old
Stuart.
Baby killer Hopkins.
Yep.
Why has Fat got a cheap knockoff Cats jumper on? Surely he's got thousands of them.
Well, no, that's all we could buy over there for the auction, Jim. Billy Boy had the better off-season by the length of Flemington Strait. JB being too worried about his selfies. Yes. Stupid hats. Yes. And rubbish craft beer.
I think you might actually just have me there.
I think I've won that one, Jim. That's
a
good start.
I think you might have.
It's a nice start.
I'll tell you what we've got coming up next.
What?
News, obviously. And then Marcus Harris.
Oh,
made a very nice start to his international career and also a Renegades Premiership batsman.
I think we got someone on the phone, Jim,
that
was actually at one of the events that Bill was at over the off-season.
Who have we got here?
Who?
James. I got James here, mate.
Ah, Jamesy boy, which event were you at?
Down at Caroline Springs, Bill.
Oh, were you one of the bald-headed Geelong boys that turned up?
Absolutely, mate, absolutely.
So this gym, I went to Caroline Springs, very nice cricket club there, and there was a table of 10 blokes in Geelong
the
jumpers
Brownlesses.
With bald heads.
What?
The Billies, the bald caps.
Exactly. You come from Geelong, didn't you?
Yeah, there are 10 of us all came up from Geelong,
Hey, it was a great day. What about some great stories?
Oh, mate, they're the best stories we've had so far.
Jim, did Bill get up on stage?
I was a guest speaker, Jim.
He was a guest speaker. So we've had quite a few guest speakers over the year. We've even had little Boomer Harvey up there. We had Cameron Mooney the year before that, John O. Hastings.
Did Bill do the Lucky Band?
Bill gave us a few good stories. It's meant to be a family cricket club, but we didn't really say on the family track too much.
I didn't see any kids.
It would have been the Lucky Band, and you also would have rolled out the wheel.
The wheel ones.
And kicking over the silo.
No wheel.
No wheel, Jim.
Unfortunately, no wheel.
Kicking over the silo, Jim.
No. I've gone.
Yeah, no, the silo came up. The silo had to come up.
And, mate.
What about that goal he kicked from 70 out after the siren?
Did you go with that one, Bill?
I don't know if I will. Because I got a new lot. So,
what about Gary Ablett in the boxing? Do you go with that one, Jim?
Yep.
I got a new stick, Jim. I got some new stuff.
Bill, you haven't.
I did.
I've done this act with you for so long that I could actually do it myself. In fact, we did it recently, and I started. I had to tell half your story because forgot.
I forgot.
Lady with the purple hair.
That was the president's wife. A great show overall, James, wasn't it? Well done.
That was fantastic, mate. Had to catch up for a couple of frothies down at Cremorne.
Get in there.
Jimmy, stay on the line. We'll get you something from Nina and Pasadena for calling in.
No worries, mate. Thanks, JB. Thanks, Bill.
Listening to the Rush Hour. I feel good. Nice to have your company. First show back. Just enjoying ourselves. We are Marcus Harris, not far away. Australia, Victoria, Renegade star. Love him.
Australia, eh? Jimmy boy.
Yep.
A bit of sports news because that's what we are, sports all the time.
Yep.
Perth Wildcats just belted Melbourne United. Game 3 over there in Perth. Then yesterday at Albert Park, Jim. Not at Albert Park. That's where the Grand Prix was, Dopey. Beat them again. They've won 3-1. Perth's fourth title in 5 years, Jim. 4 out of 5. Yeah. Good effort by Perth.
Very good.
Well, Wildcats, they are on a run. Did you watch the Grand Prix?
Yes, I did. I'm interested in the bait coming up shortly because it didn't reach any great heights.
No, well, it never really does, to be honest.
Yeah, but often there's intrigue within the race. But this one, old Valtteri Bottas, cleared out, Bill, and no one got anywhere near him.
I tell you who stuffed it up. Our man Dan early on. Come on, Dan.
What happened there?
Get up on the inside, Jim. That was no good. But a big crowd. Jeez, a lot of people go. They love it. A
beautiful day.
How good was the day, Jimmy?
It was a beautiful day.
Poor old Reece Palmer, did you see that? It's not good, is it? Yeah, thoughts are with him.
Speaking of thoughts with people, Bill, over the years I've played, as you know, a lot of golf with Jason Dunstall at Huntingdale and Kingston Heath, where I play, and we've played a lot with a man called Greg Jackson, who very sadly passed away on Saturday. So one of the great blokes, Jacko, everyone who's played golf, certainly at the pennant level, because he was an unbelievably good player, played off sort of scratch, plus one at times, played a lot of pennant golf around Melbourne, but an extraordinarily good fella, and he's not with us anymore. So to Jacko's family and friends, thinking of you all, one of the greats.
Yep. Hey, AFLW, Jim, I tell you what, we're at prelim finals time now.
And how north in there?
Well,
I'm serious.
This Saturday, March 23, Carlton, who finished on top, they take on Fremantle at Icon Park, 2:45 this Saturday.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, March 24, Adelaide take on the Cats. Good effort by the Cats, first year in the comp and finished second.
Won two games less than North. And have found yourself into a final.
That's what happens.
How's that work?
In the conference. It's all about conferences.
Is that what it is?
Yes. So Adelaide take on Geelong, Adelaide Oval at 12:40.
Yep.
And then the grand final is not next Saturday. It is next Sunday, 31 March. So it's been pretty good again, the AFLW.
No, very good. No doubt about that. How did you see AFLX, by the way? Outstandingly called, of course, but anything else?
No, totally different. If you don't want to watch it.
I'm a grand announcer.
Yeah. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. It's all about the kids and Marvel, it's just something the AFL are trying.
At least this year, the very, very best players were playing.
That's right.
That made it different.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Tomo Hawkins looked a lot skinnier in the...
Tomo Hawkins.
Tom. Tomo.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, I like to call him Tomo.
Tomo Hawkins.
His good friends call him Tomo.
Do they?
He looked a lot skinnier. Did you see him in the gear?
As you found out over 200 games, the hoops don't do you a lot of favours.
I might put a Geelong jumper on, Jim, and we're at work at the minute.
I don't reckon you should. I'll tell you, Marcus Harris, who's coming in next.
He's tiny.
He's concerned you're going to eat him. You're going to mistake him for something.
Well, I tell you, Jim, he'd only be an entree. That's kidding.
Beautiful again from Harris down the ground.
Oh, that is a delightful stroke down the ground. Marcus Harris gets in behind it.
There it is. Lovely little milestone for Marcus Harrison's first Test 50.
Debuted for Australia over the course of the Test summer and did a very nice job of it too, Marcus Harrison. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened, Bill.
What happened?
I reckon it was in Perth, which is the second Test. I'm minding my own business. I'm walking around underneath the ground at the Optus Stadium, just trying to get out on the ground to do, you know, some of the broadcasting magic that you see on the 7
out in the grass.
And
yeah.
I hear this high-pitched voice going, Jim, get me onto the rush hour with Billy. I look around and there's this idiot's head stuck out of this car. Hello to you, mate.
Hey, boys, how you going?
Well done. You must have been really pleased with not only debuting, but then playing well for Australia.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, it's a great experience to play Test cricket, but then to come up against India, who are the biggest team in the world, and obviously the stuff that comes with that was a pretty special experience. So that was obviously a challenging series, but then to have the series against Sri Lanka where we won quite comfortably was great to be a part of.
And you batted beautifully, didn't you? You just went straight in there, played some really good innings, made plenty of runs. You happy with yourself?
A couple of good innings,
couple of easy outs there, quarter point or gully. What's that shot, Jim?
That's a slash. No, it was good. Obviously, it's a different level of thing and something I've never experienced before Test cricket, so sometimes you're a bit unsure going into it, but I took some good confidence from that first Test in Adelaide and then, going on throughout that series. Obviously didn't get 100, but got a few good starts, which was good for my confidence.
Got a couple of 80s.
Yeah.
That second one, who strangled you, Jardeja or someone?
Chopped him on.
How did that happen, mate? Never has a man at 100 staring him in the face more than that.
It's just one of those things. I think sometimes, playing cricket, when you get towards a break, you'd rather actually keep going than going off for lunch. So, just one of those things, but, 70 odds better than a kick in the teeth.
Oh, it's very good. And then you missed out against Sri Lanka. You and who else was the Marcus? Manus. Yeah, the two of you missed it. The only two Australian batsmen not to make runs against what was a club attack.
Yeah, it didn't go to plan. obviously, everyone had a fill up in Canberra, but that can be, disappointing as a cricketer, but, it's all part and parcel of it. So it was nice to get a win and sort of have the shoe on the other foot there for a little bit.
Mate, you did brilliantly. As I say, you look comfortable at the level. That's all that matters. And you've got lots of Test cricket coming ahead, which is brilliant. I want to talk to you about the Renegades. The final. How the hell do you get to a final, Bill, when you only make 350s as a team through the whole tournament?
That was unbelievable how you made the final one.
Andrew McDonald ratted off a stat after the final. It said or something like, if one of our batters got over 38, I think we won out of 16 or 7 games, I think we won 14 of them. So 38 might be our new 50.
The next worst team made 9.
Mm,
and the best team made nearly 20 50s in the tournament.
So I think that's probably got to say about our group as well. We sort of scrapped our way around. We didn't play too many pretty games of cricket, but, we sort of found a way to win. I think in that final, if a team needs 50 to win and they got the lineup that the Stars have got, you normally give it up. But I think, like you saw, pulled a rabbit out of a hat a little bit.
I've never seen the gas truck wander in harder than that, Bill.
What were the Stars? They were,
none for 90, needing 145.
Oh, Eddie. How was his face? Did he blow up? His head would have blown off his shoulders. Did you think you were ever going to win it, or did you just think, we're done?
I remember walking out to Deep Backwood Square next to Kane Richardson, and I thought someone had killed his mother or something because he was that upset. They only needed 50 to win. So, but when Maxie got out, that's when I knew we were a real chance because you could just see they're getting a bit far ahead of themselves, laughing and giggling and carrying on the boundary. Then, when that stuff sort of happens in cricket, people can shit themselves a little bit. So, and that obviously happened. Sorry about that.
There is legitimate rivalry too between the Stars and the Renegades.
Yeah, well, they carry on like the top end of town, like they think they are. But, I think the last couple of years we've probably had the wood over them a little bit and they probably haven't done as well as what they wanted to do. But I think, like you saw this year, they were a pretty good side. And obviously, a lot of the blokes on that side are our Victorian teammates as well. So we spend a lot of time with each other. So a lot of it's just a bit of banter.
Speaking of blokes who look like their dog had just been run over, I don't reckon for a lot of that game, Finchie would have been overly impressed with how things were going.
He's normally a calm bloke on the field, I've been on the end of a few sprays from him. But, he wasn't happy. But I think sometimes, he said just before he went out, he goes, as long as we have a crack and see how it goes, you never know what might happen. But none for 90, you don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, not good.
It is what it is.
And one, I think, was there one where you just snuck in off the boundary a bit?
No, that was the semi-final.
Yeah, the semi.
I went over your head.
And we had him mic'd up, Finchie.
Oh.
And he just paused talking to us for a second say, Marcus, on the boundary.
What's a duke ball like?
Yeah, it's obviously different to the Kookaburra. It swings a fair bit early, but we tend to find that it does a little bit the new ball, but then it tends to get a bit softer. So probably doesn't come off the bat as quite as well as the Kookaburra, but it's obviously something different, something they've tried for coming up to this Ashes series to trial a bit in domestic cricket. But
we're going to talk about that Ashes series coming up, also the World Cup and the Shield final. Vix again, Bill.
Oh, they're in.
Just owned this competition.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Marcus Harris in the studio.
What about his middle name? Old Sinclair. Where's that come from, Marco?
You have to ask me, old man. No idea.
Sinclair.
Or my mum.
Doesn't kind of ring, does it, Marcus Sinclair Harris?
Hey, the Vic's into another Shield final, hosting another Shield final. Is that decided, or have you, is it on this last game against the Sackers?
No, it's guaranteed. I think we're too far ahead for anyone even Junction? Get close to us. Junction Oval. So obviously a great facility got built there by the chief, Sean Graff. So we're looking forward to getting down there. We had the one-day final. We obviously won that. So it'd be nice to get a Shield final and hopefully win that as well.
Unfortunately, my old mob are bottom of the table. Terrible. Haven't won a game, Bill.
Terrible.
How's that even happen?
Well, they're no good. There's disconnect there somewhere, Jim, I believe.
They're just lacking a sparkling top-order batsman. That's what clearly what they're not
like
having at the minute.
Nobes, Paul Nobes.
a nibbler.
But unbelievable game last game against New South Wales. 19 wickets fell on day one, Jim.
That's amazing.
Victoria off about 96 and New South Wales about 9 for 90. But some good Michelle Pfeiffers, wasn't there? John Holland, Dutchie Pfeiffer and James Pattinson, who we all love here. Yep. Can't wait for him to get back in there.
Yeah, obviously Johnny Holland bowled really well in that first innings. But yeah, I think the bloke that got spoke about the most after the game is probably Jimmy Pattinson. I think when he's up and running, there's not many better blokes in Australia, including obviously the Test guys are upper echelon. But Jimmy, when he's fit and firing, you don't want to be on the end of him.
No, it's an ugly nurry he produces. It's high 140s, Bill, and it's just disappearing away from the right hander.
And
heavy,
and he's got a bit of.
See you
next Tuesday.
The old third letter of the alphabet. He has got plenty of.
Certainly,
we love him and can bat too.
He can bat. Certainly, if he's had a few frothies. You seen him there when he's.
Yeah, he turns into the Hulk.
He does. He does. He's
feral. Came to our last Mad Monday as the Hulk.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that sums him up, Jimmy.
Well, we need him, by the way, because we can half tolerate losing to the Indians, best test playing team in the world, and we didn't have Smith and Warner, of course, so they got us at a nice moment.
Coley.
But we're going to have them back for the Ashes, and that is the series that we need to sharpen our focus on, Marcus. Ooh.
Yeah, I think there's obviously a lot going into it. Obviously, there's a big World Cup before that. But I'm sure everyone will be ready and rare to go for that.
They've just been bowled over by the West Indies and they're poxy, so the English team aren't exactly flying.
I won't say too much. We haven't played them yet, so we'll just wait and see how it goes.
Who are you going to open with?
Good question, Bill. Mm. I don't know. We got a bit of cricket to go before the first test. There's an Australia A tour to England in June, July, so I think that might have a fair bit to do with it.
Davey Warner, he'd be taller.
Pretty similar, I reckon.
He's little.
I might have longer legs.
The midgets would walk out. They go, right, it's
two little lefties. And Steve Smith, of course, will be back in as well. So
Finches?
Well, Finches is probably not big in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Probably not in the Ashes series as much. But tell us about Virat Kohli, because different cat. Bill doesn't like him.
No, I don't like him because, you know why, Jim? When everything's going his way, it's all good. But when we started beating him in the last three games over there, did he get nice and shirty and carry on like a pork chop? He's a flog, isn't he? Don't you say anything, Marcus.
Don't say anything.
No, I won't say anything about that.
He can play like hell, though. Tell us about being on the field and watching him.
Well, he's obviously one of those people that you don't meet too many people like that in your life, but someone has an aura about him, and he smells unbelievable. That was a funny thing about
this. Really?
Yeah, they all smell great. They all must spray a bit of
Rexar
aftershave on before they come out. But yeah, he can definitely bat. He probably didn't make the runs he wanted to make in that series, but I think when he made them in Perth on a tough wicket and at the G, they really feed off him and how he is in the field. And just he obviously knows there's a camera on him 24-7. Yeah. I think you can tell by how he plays. But
what about the other bloke we couldn't get out?
Pujara. That is like bowling to a brick wall.
Oh.
You know what was funny about him, Bill? You'd probably like this. Yeah. Every time the physio rang out, I thought he was getting out to get a bit of treatment.
Yeah.
They'd run him out of Dairy Milk, chocolate and a Powerade.
No.
Yeah.
Feeding him. He'd eat the chocolate bar.
Yeah.
Oh, how good.
Obviously
I like
works.
Him.
Made 300s.
He could not get him out.
I tell you who I loved was little Rishabh Pant.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly loved the way he played as well. I know Brad Haddin said the way he batted in that last test in Sydney was reminded me of how Bull Fleeman used to bat in Shield cricket.
That's it.
If he didn't want to get out, he couldn't get out, and he hit him wherever he wanted.
Yep. Hits it clean,
he's a
too, doesn't
pretty
he?
Special player.
Hits it real clean, Bill.
And good on the mic.
Yeah, I loved it.
He's good.
Nice for you, Harry. And I love that too. Great banter through the whole series.
Yeah.
Well, and Tim Payne did a great job with that too.
Yeah, I think obviously with the two broadcasters coming now and the radio and all that, we weren't too sure what to expect. And I think after the first test, everyone sort of got used to what was going to happen. So I think you saw a few blokes were quite aware that the stump mics were turned up and tried to say a few funny one-liners. Some probably weren't that funny, but...
they were good. Tim Payne saved
Tim Payne
them.
Did a great
he
job.
He knew when it was on, Jim,
oh,
I think,
no,
didn't he?
He was superb. What I loved was, I think it was in Perth when he was batting, and he was trying to get Virat Kohli to say what he was saying closer so we'd pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So he kept going, I can't hear you. And he was too smart and he wouldn't walk up. But, Bill, what it did for me, and I think, one of the commentators said it during the season, it actually demystified what is said on a cricket field because it's the biggest lot of crap of all time. People get all wound up about it. It's 99 times out of 100, nothing to worry about. And so because people heard it, they realise that it's just banter.
Yeah, a lot of what you're doing on the ground is trying to just, you know, get some caught catch on off guard or say something funny to them or just try and get them from not concentrate as much as what they can. So it very rarely is it abuse. Most of the time it's just talking crap. Yeah, pretty much.
What do they say to you, little one?
No, not much. Little pads is mainly what they normally say.
Little pads.
So every time I get hit anywhere near a pad, they go off. So,
hey, we'll let you go. Good luck with your demons too. I know you love the demons in the AFL. Yeah. So enjoy
Why the demons? Quickly.
Because I used to love Jeffrey Farmer when I was a young bloke. So been going for him ever since.
Yeah,
they'll give you a good ride this season. And good luck with a massive winter of cricket coming up.
No worries. Thank you, boys.
On your Sinclair.
Now, Bill,
yep.
We have got the bait coming up shortly, so just before we get to there.
Nice boy, Marcus.
Isn't he a good fella?
Good fella, mate.
He's a beauty. And just, I love the way he goes about it. He's got a big smile on his face, loves playing cricket, not only for Australia, but for the Renegades and the Bush Rangers. Fantastic. Now, we asked right off the top people on Instagram to let us know who they thought had the best off-season.
Yes.
Kevstagram has got hold of myself, James Brayshaw, by the way, gets stuck in the best Instagram there for you. But he says, Bill.
Yes.
Went to Maui. That's risking your life. So he wins.
It was a very good day. The girls were all frocked up, Jim. Bought a dress from the local hardware shop.
But
they were all frocked up, Jim. It was a good day at Maui. Don't worry about that.
Here we go.
Triple M advises the following segment may contain coarse language, adult themes, and excessive yelling.
An early one.
Kids in cars, you've been warned.
Five.
Let me at them.
Three, two. It's time for the big bloke to explode. This is Billy's Bake.
Jimmy boy.
Yes.
I'll tell you what really annoys me, and it has for a long, long time, my friend.
What's that, Bill?
The Grand Prix, Jim. Boring as bat.
I actually love the Grand Prix.
Shut the up. No one cares what you think, moisturised dick. For a start, old mate Ricciuto, Jim.
Ricardo.
Him. Decides 4 seconds into the race to ram his nose into the gutter. He also damaged his car, Jim. See what Fat did there, Jim? He's got the big howl. Howl. Anyway, race over within 50 metres, Jim. Useless he was. I don't know why Aussie drivers bothered to turn up to the Grand Prix, Jim.
Yes.
Ricciuto.
Yes.
Weber, he was hopeless.
Who else, Bill?
I can't think of any other Jim. Then old Roddy Bottoms.
Valtteri.
Jim! He bores the out of everyone by leading the whole way round and winning by 30 seconds. How's that entertaining? No crashes, no daring overtaking moves.
Yes.
Everyone just waits around for a really loud plane to fly overhead, Jim.
Yes.
Whoa, that was loud, Jesus. It's like I always say, Jimmy boy.
Oh, what do you always say?
If you haven't got anything nice to say, don't waste your Sunday watching the Grand Prix. Oh, look where all the drivers come from, Jim.
Where do they come from?
They're Finns and they're Danes and they're Swedishes. Sun only shines over there for 3 hours a day. They pull themselves, Jim, over the northern lights. Because they're all else to do, Jim. Here's my free advice to the Grand Prix drivers.
What is that?
If you can't win the race, Jimmy boy,
what do you do?
Crash into someone. Otherwise, I'm never watching again. Stick the Grand Prix, fair up your clacker.
Oh, no. So he'd play a song or something, Reb.
He's gone off. Might have to get some social media feedback on that one. No. The Rush Hour, JB and Bill.
All right, we've just had the bake.
Yes, Jim.
And now we've got some feedback.
Yes, please.
Gav Healy, I've just driven off the road. Hashtag nice fat.
Oh, good one.
Stewie from Stewie Sores, I reckon that is.
Yep.
That hold your breath moment when Bill says, it's like I always say.
Yes, Jim. Oh, you miss Ben. Bill, you twat. You've kicked over the solo and kicked after the siren. Are both boring as bat.
Droppings.
Who? The racing in the mid-pack was sensational.
Oh, so Bill, Benny likes his Grand Prix.
I didn't look that far
Stewie
back.
Stewie Mac, fat on fire, first up after a spell, only downhill from here. Hashtag quit now. Phil, at Mr. Hoyland. A Rusciutto's too fat to be an F1 driver. Darren, a dazzling marks, Big Daz. He crashed his nose into the gutter, then crashed his car. Absolute gold fat.
I like that one, Jim. Well done.
Who else?
Daniel. Even Danny Gibson.
Yes.
He said, couldn't agree more about the Grand Prix, Bill. I actually had a conversation with my brother, who hasn't spoke to for a while, how boring the Grand Prix was.
Adam Britter, the best bake I've ever heard. Ooh. Fat on fire early in 2019. So there we are. I like it, Bill.
Catherine.
Nice. Yes, go on.
I bet Bill would turn up to the Grand Prix if a cashie was in Button.
I think you almost did, didn't you?
Well, I had to go to Lawn, but I was thinking about you.
And Loki, who's another one of our
favourites. Yeah, Loki's one of our favourites.
Idiot File will be ready for tomorrow afternoon at this rate, fat. Innings.
Toma Hawkins.
Toma Hawkins.
And
in the middle of that, I think Maddie was onto it, in the middle of that bake, I reckon there might be something in there that we like the look of too. I might get Maddie to turn that around.
Oh.
You might have just let one slide just right in the middle of the bake.
No, Jim.
Yeah.
Because I take that very seriously.
Do you?
Yes.
Righto. We'll just
stand
by. But next, we're going to get Bill fit.
Oh, no. Fat. Not fit.
Emails already coming in, Bill. Why? Bazza sent one in. What did Fat let rip in the middle of that idiot file?
Jim.
Hashtag Jim, you're a legend. So, Bill.
What was the hashtag? Geez, you're a flog.
So,
yes.
We got Maddie in the booth to just wind back through the bake. And,
still here, is he?
Here we go.
I don't know why Aussie drivers bother to turn up to the Grand Prix, Jim.
Yes.
Bothered to turn up.
Which reminded us, of course.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Don't miss your chance to see Europe's best football teams battle it out. Even battle it out. Maddie is still here, is he?
Maddie's here.
Fit him.
Oh, no.
Can't believe it. I thought I'd been good today, Jim. Oh, the Chivago. We've got to get that girl on. She's good.
Now, Bill, you're now just talking to the television.
Chivago.
What is wrong with you, Bill? Now,
what?
I don't know if you're across this. I think our own man, newsreader from the Breakfast Show, Seb Costello, I think he shredded for his wedding.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Did he?
So it's become a thing. If you've got like 6 weeks or whatever until your wedding, you do an intense training program, Bill, to shred for your wedding.
I think Higo did it.
So what we've done is seen this phenomenon start to take hold.
For the wedding.
They shred for their wedding. So people take a photo beforehand.
Yep.
And then after a month or 6 weeks, they take a photo, as Seb did, and Seb looked nice.
What happens if you haven't got a wedding, Jim?
Well, Bill, I'm just a little concerned because you've come back after 5.5 months, 6 months off, and you've doubled in size.
I haven't doubled.
Bill,
Jim.
You've got to be a minimum 15 kilos heavier than when I last saw you.
Well, I don't like to get on the scales, Jim.
And I'm also concerned because they've rolled out the lineup for the new footy show.
Yes.
And there's no W Brownless attached.
Not yet, Jim.
So I'm also concerned that your appearance is costing you gigs.
Because I'm too fat, you're saying.
Bill,
Jim.
I think what you need to do.
I'm a jolly old fella.
You need to shred for a booking.
Shred for a booking.
For a gig.
Slashy for a cashy.
Slash
for a...
You need, and cash. It's interesting that we say all of this because...
What's interesting?
Sam Wood is coming in.
Who?
Former bachelor.
Oh, yeah, married. Sneezer. what's her name? And they're about to have their second kid. I read about him. A good bloke, Woody.
He's a fantastic bloke.
What's that?
And he's got the gym on Nepean Highway.
Yes.
So, Bill, what we're going to do is when Sam comes in Wednesday, I'm going to say, can you help our man shred for a booking?
So you're worried about my appearance?
Well, you, Bill, your phone's gone a little quiet.
Well,
fair
it's on,
to say.
It's on silent.
People aren't ringing you, Bill.
Well, I got to Mount Gambier last week.
No, that was good. I'm talking, what was her name?
Snezana?
Snezana.
I was close.
Not Sneezer.
She likes, it's a nickname, Jim. It's a nickname.
He used to be the full forward for South Australia in the State of Origin, didn't he? Big Snee Bickler, or he was known as Sneezer.
No,
now, Bill,
yes.
Sam Wood, coming in Wednesday.
Righto, good. And I'll have a chat to him, Jim.
We need to get you shredded. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a before photo.
No, Jim, we're not doing that one.
And then after Woody's got hold of you for a month,
yes,
we're going to have an after photo.
What happens if I lose too much weight and I lose all my sense of humour? Jim. Jim?
Bill, I'd take the risk if I were you. I'd run that risk. Oh. All right? So that's happening Wednesday.
I tell you what, if you do lose weight, but it helps your sleeping. I've got bad sleeping habits.
Have you?
I can't turn the cameras on.
Oh, I'm going to play a song.
I think we need to play a song and end this thing. That's coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll chuck up the photo of Bill on our Instagram, Triple M Rush Hour, after the show.
Hey, just looking through the glass, I can see the magnificent Jane Kennedy.
Yes, Janie.
And Mick Malloy.
Give us a look at old whiskers. Have a look at those.
The beard on Mick. And Bill, ratings last week went up 2 points.
I know.
2 bloody points.
Well done to
There are
the
some stations in this market that don't have 2 points to their name.
Yes,
and they've
exactly.
actually gone up. So well done.
Well done superb to the work. Crew there, Jim.
Kennedy, and now they're flying
up, they'll go up higher because they come in off a very, very good show.
Giving them a beautiful lead in from now on. Well done. Well done. Now listen, tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
Bridge Duclos in here, the top flight.
Yes.
And Tom Phillips from Collingwood. Who he hopes a little cleaner with the language than he was last time. He dropped about 7 or 8 F-bombs.
He did. And didn't know. Didn't know, Jim.
We're looking forward to that. Very good young player.
Yes.
All right. Now, Bill.
Yep.
Something funny?
Very funny for the first one.
I don't.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
All jokes aside, if you're digging for a living, you won't dig up a better Kubota construction dealer than supergroups.com.au.
Oh, some very good sponsors. Foxtel, of course, who are our main sponsor. And then Kubota.
Righto.
If you're looking for a Kubota,
go to Kubota.
Go to Kubota. That's their son. That's it.
Supergroups.com.au if you want a Kubota.
Looking for a Kubota, go to Kubota.
Yeah,
now, Jim.
Yes, righto.
Righto. Thor, you know Thor?
Thor?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Thor, with the hammer.
Yep.
So he's out one night in Melbourne here having a great old night, and he bumps into Ida Buttrose. Yeah, which was nice. Good chemistry, Jim, straight up. They have a great night together, great time, and in the morning, Thor says to Ida, "Hi, I'm Thor." She said, "You're Thor."
Oh, no. Oh, no. That can't be the way you're kicking it off.
You're four.
Oh, no. Have a look at Mick. These 2 points have just evaporated.
That's why Jane loves it. He didn't get it. You're four.
Woo! Come on, Ida.
Come on. Poor old Ida. She's done what? Running ABC. I am the king of the divan.
Triple M's Rush Hour Catch Up Podcast. The whole show, everything sport. It's all here. Want it all? Have it all. On Foxtel. Call Foxtel on 131 787 or search Foxtel.